If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you on this Lord's Day in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're rejoicing in the good things that God is doing for us. We have seen the wonderful and mighty hand of God upon us during our fall festival of faith. Today is a very outstanding day with us because today is Roundup Day. Our Sunday school goal is 1,000 for Christ. Let me give to you a very personal invitation to come and share with us in our Sunday school hour today at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday school is thoroughly graded. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We have but one textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, and that is the Bible. We study the Word of God. Come and join with us today in the study of the Bible and bring the whole family. Remember, it's Roundup Day in our fall festival of faith, and our goal is 1,000 for Christ in Sunday school here at Worth Baptist Church today. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs, and it would be our joy to have you come and worship God with us today at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We are now underway in the construction of our new building at Campus Drive and Loop 820. We're looking forward as the weeks and months come to building this building to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Our special Sunday school theme for the 1976-77 Sunday school year is Building for Christ as We Build for Eternity. And that is precisely what we're doing. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school, to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. As never before, we feel the need of teaching God's Word. We feel the need of evangelizing. God has commissioned us to evangelize the world. That ministry of evangelizing begins right here in our own city. And the city of Fort Worth needs the gospel. The city of Fort Worth needs Jesus Christ. As we labor together, we're looking forward to many hundreds of people coming to know Christ in the months ahead. We have but one goal and one ambition, one desire, one purpose, and that's to win men to Christ in the city, across the Metroplex, and around the world. We invite you to join with us in prayer that as the year of 1976 comes to a close, that great revivals will break out all over America. We see signs of it wherever we go. We're seeing signs of it not only in Fort Worth, not only in the state of Texas, but in many states. Across the nation, there seems to be a hunger for the Word of God, and churches are joining together in programs of evangelizing and soul winning. And we're believing God for a tremendous spirit of revival in these closing months of 1976. If you do not have a church home, or if you're looking for a place to visit today, we invite you to come and visit with us at Worth Baptist Church. You'll enjoy the fellowship of God's people, the music, the message from God's Word, in a church where the gospel is proclaimed, where the Bible is taught, where soul winning is emphasized. We have a bus ministry. We have a missionary ministry that reaches around the world. Some 80 missionary families in 20 foreign countries, our church is helping to support week after week and month after month. Then we have a special afternoon Sunday school at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon for those who are not privileged to be in Sunday school in the morning Sunday school. So we invite you to come and join with us in that hour. Then our training time is at 5:45, a special series of lectures by one of our deacons, Brother J.W. Huffman, who is lecturing on science and the Bible at 5:45 every Sunday evening. Then, of course, as we've already stated, our regular schedule of services, the Sunday school hour at 10, the morning worship hour at 11, and the evening worship hour at 7. We would be happy to have you and your family and your friends visit with us at Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our motto is Reaching Families for Christ in the family plan in which we are now engaged. And as we come to Roundup Day on this Sunday, today, we're looking for 1,000 for Christ in Sunday school today. Would you like to be one of that 1,000, honoring Christ, glorifying God, studying God's Word, fellowshipping together? Then come today at 10 o'clock for our Sunday school hour and for the services of worship throughout the day. Then, as this is the last Sunday of October, it closes our celebration of the 7th anniversary of the radio broadcast on this radio station. So we'd like to have you write us this week. Remember, for all of those who write, and we'll extend it through this week, if you'll write us this week, we would be happy to send to you free and postage paid one of my books of sermons entitled, Look Up Christian, Christ is Coming. All you need to do is write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. We shall be looking forward to hearing from you by mail this week. And we shall look forward to greeting many of you in the services of Worth Baptist Church today. Remember our location, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Church Where People Are Bright. I'm going to read two passages of Scripture. First from John chapter 8 at verse 12. And then in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Before I read the Scripture, I want you to join with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful hour of broadcasting the Gospel. We thank Thee that we have a privilege to be a part of a great soul-winning program, a program of worldwide redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Father, I pray for everyone listening to this broadcast today. Some are sick, some are shut in, feeble, growing old, unable to be out today. Some are discouraged, some are despondent. Heavenly Father, some are just ready to give up. Some are now just contemplating how they'll end it all today. Maybe someone visiting our city, or someone who's come to bear sad news to somebody in our town. Dear God, I pray for comfort and consolation and guidance. And then, Heavenly Father, for the many, many out there today who know not Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray that this would be the time and this would be the day that they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior in this hour. Now, Father, bless the broadcast. Bless the reading of Thy Word. Bless the preaching of the Gospel. May Jesus Christ be honored in it all. And then, Father, we pray for our city, for revival. We pray for our mayor, for our city officials. We pray for our state and for our nation, for our president, our congressmen, our senators, our judges. We just ask that all over America there would be a spirit of revival, especially, Heavenly Father, in this important week when we go to cast our votes. I pray that believers all over America would follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in casting their votes on Tuesday. And Father, send a great revival to America, a spiritual awakening of tremendous proportions, that many men might be turned to Christ and many churches might win many souls to Him in these dark and difficult days. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. Now in the Gospel according to John chapter 8, I read at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, at verse 14, Jesus said again, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The church where people are bright. The two passages that I have read you contain three statements about light. One, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Two, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." And three, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now with two of these, the first two, there might seem to be a contradiction. First, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said, "You are the light of the world." Is there a contradiction? No. 10,000 times no. Absolutely no. You see, during the daytime, the world has one light called the sun. At night, there is another light called the moon. The moon has no light of itself. The moon is a reflector. It merely reflects the light of the sun. Even so, the sun is the light of the world by day. The moon is the light of the world by night. So Jesus Christ is the great light, and our lives as Christians reflect His light, so we too become lights in the world. Now I know these statements are true because Jesus spoke them. And Jesus Christ is true because Jesus Christ is the truth. He said so in John chapter 14 at verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now indeed, and in fact, emphatically, unquestionably, undeniably, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light of the intellectual world. There is no intellect without Jesus Christ. He's the light of the economic world. His principles of economics are written in the Bible. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." This is the greatest system of economics the world has ever known. Jesus is the light of the scientific world. He put all the laws of science into operation long before there was a scientist or a scientific lab. Jesus Christ is the light of the philosophical world. All reasoning stems from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can be the light of your own individual, personal world. Let me ask you this question. What would your world be without Jesus Christ? You would be in darkness, total darkness, absolute darkness, complete darkness, eternal darkness. And my friend, without Jesus Christ, you're headed for an eternal darkness of hell. Yes, Jesus Christ can be the light of your own individual world. Now, the second statement, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, Jesus was talking to you and me as born-again believers, as unimpressive, as unimportant, as unkind, as unclean, as unqualified, as unfavorable, as unlovely as we are. Jesus Christ says to us, "You are the light of the world." And in the original language in which the Bible was written, Greek, the word "ye" is emphatic. And it would read like this, "Ye and ye alone are the light of the world." The world system in which we live is blanketed by darkness. It is a spiritual darkness. It is an invisible darkness. It is a darkness that can be penetrated only by the light of Jesus Christ, as His light is reflected in the lives of His followers. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." You see, light is the enemy of darkness, and darkness is the enemy of light. Darkness cannot tolerate light. We read in 1 John chapter 1 at verse 5, "Herein is the message that we declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, you cannot use darkness to dispel light, but you can use light to dispel darkness. Why don't you make this experiment? Light a candle, wait for nightfall to come. Does nightfall put the candle out? No. There is not enough darkness in all the earth to put out the light of one single candle. But my friend, there are enough candles in the world to put out all the darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light displaces darkness. Light and darkness cannot coexist. We read in 2 Corinthians 6:14, Paul asks, what communion hath light with darkness? The answer is none. You can either have light or darkness, not both. When Jesus says to us, ye are the light of the world, he is saying in essence, you are the darkness dispellers in this world. You keep this world system from being thrown into utter darkness and chaos. Jesus is saying, you can turn the darkness into light. You and you only are the source of light in this dark world. And my friend, when Jesus Christ says to Christians, you are the light of the world, he did not mean sanctuary lights. He meant street lights out there in the world shining, guiding, leading men to the great light that is Jesus Christ himself. Now, this brings me to the third statement about light. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Jesus did not say, let your light twinkle. Jesus did not say, let your light flutter. Jesus said, let your light shine. Jesus did not say, make your light shine. He did not say, force your light to shine. Jesus said, let your light shine. He said, let your light so shine. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There's something else Jesus said in my text. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel, but rather on a candlestick, that it might give light to all who enter into the house. You see, the purpose of light is to give light. When a light bulb burns out, what do you do with it? Keep it as an ornament? No, you throw it away. When light ceases to be light, it ceases to be. By the way, have you ever noticed that lights don't ring bells or sound trumpets to call attention to themselves? They just shine. And you, as a born-again believer, you don't have to hang a sign on your back. You don't have to blow a trumpet or ring a bell. All you need to do is shine. Simply let your light shine. Jesus Christ made us lights, and we must be what he has made us in order that we might become what he wants us to become. Perhaps you're saying, but my light is so small. My friend, it does not matter how small the light, as long as you let it shine for Jesus Christ. Now observe with me three things that are true in the church where people are bright. First, where people are bright, the gospel is translated into a language that all men can understand. Many people pick up the Bible, they read a verse or two, they lay it aside and say, I just don't understand it, and they don't. But my friend, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, when your light shines, people read your life and understand it, because it is a translation of the Bible into the language of love that all men everywhere understand. You see, your language of everyday Christian living can be understood when men see Christ in you, when they see your light shining, when they see your good works, they will glorify God. Someone asked a dear saint one time, which translation of the Bible do you like best? He answered, my mother's. Oh, my friend, we're each one writing a Bible. You're writing a gospel every day. Your life is an open Bible, known and read of all men. You give somebody an impression of Jesus Christ every day that you live. The poet put it this way. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds you do and the words you say. Men read what you write, whether false or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? The gospel, according to you, is read both far and wide. There are some things in your life you simply cannot hide. The gospel, according to you, has words and deeds galore. And like the rubbish of the ocean, they wash upon the shore. The gospel, according to you, must never, never be a lie. For the truth will be revealed before you come down to die. Yes, my friend, if your light is shining, the gospel will be translated into a language that all men can understand, the simple language of love, the language of everyday Christian living. Then in the second place, where people are bright, their lives are stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks. You're either showing the way to Christ or you're keeping people from coming to Christ. Like the blind man who was carrying the lantern, one of his friends said to him, "Why do you carry the lantern? You can't see." "Oh yes, I know," he said, "I cannot see, but I carry the lantern to keep somebody from stumbling over me." My friend, if your light is shining for Jesus Christ, you will be a stepping stone rather than a stumbling block. Then in the third place, where people are bright, they provide a harbor of safety for sailors on the sea of life. The songwriter said, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save." I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Where people are bright, Jesus Christ is magnified, Christianity is exemplified, and God is glorified. As we leave the broadcast today, we remind you once again that today is Roundup Day at Worth Baptist Church. Our goal is 1,000 for Christ in Sunday school. Share with us in the Sunday school hour at 10, the morning worship hour at 11, the evening worship hour at 7. Write us this week and receive free and postage paid one of our books of sermons entitled, "Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming." And until next Lord's Day, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.